PPC Consultant is here to support your Salesforce career through interviews, podcasts, videos, and articles about and around the best way to grow and develop as a Salesforce professional. We have a list of high-value and highly packed Salesforce podcast episodes with MVPs, architects, consultants, directors, developers, and administrators. Today, I want to share with you a slightly different discussion that I had with Henry Ruschke, an ex-consultant at McKinsey. For those of you that don't know McKinsey, it is considered one of the top consulting firms. As the podcast is aimed at improving the non-technical skills of a consultant, throughout the episode, we concentrated on areas that are transferable, no matter the technology or the platform that you work on. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Henry.
Thanks, Emmerich. Very much appreciate that. Thank you very much for having me. My name is Heinrich. And let me just start off by briefly introducing myself. So I live in Germany. I actually come from Munich, so from Bavaria, from the south of Germany. And this is also where my career started. So after high school, I moved there. I started business for several years as an undergraduate degree in Munich at the University of Munich. And then later followed that up by a finance master in London at LSE. And then afterwards, I actually joined consulting. So I just found it so interesting and exciting to have the opportunity to work on different problems in different industries. That was really a great time for me. So I joined McKinsey in, I think, 2013 or so, and then spent there about 6 years, including an educational leave where I did an MBA. And then since last year, I left the firm, I left consulting to move into a more operational role at a medium-sized company in Germany. So we are a retailer and I'm in the CTO position. So I especially focus on the controlling for the company, but also tech, IT topics, and also the whole e-commerce team. That's my background in a nutshell.
I want to concentrate on, and what I really want to dig in, is that period of your life when you basically joined consulting and also going through your quote-unquote through the ranks or through the projects that you worked on and some lessons learned from there. Now, the community that I support is based on Salesforce consultants, and there is a trajectory when it comes to Salesforce where as a consultant, you potentially start as an admin. Or you come from a different industry and you attach the Salesforce knowledge to that and then you become a Salesforce consultant. But either way you go around it, when it comes to consultants, you need to do things like workshops, requirement gathering, meetings, projects, etc. So you basically, if you take the technology away, it's the same thing. If you boil that down, it doesn't really matter the technology. So what I would really want to get from your point of view, because the company that you've worked for, one of the top consulting companies, what would you say are, you know, the most important things to look at within your first year of, as a consultant? What would be the things that you should work at on a personal level, professional level, as a consultant in your first few years, where you're at the point that people take you on client meetings and they're trying to introduce you to the business?
Yes. So from my perspective, in the very first year, especially in this very, very first year, your focus as a new consultant should be to really build your skill set, right? And what does it mean? What does it mean to build your skill set here? I see two key areas that you need to develop. The first are your technical skills, and the second area are your people skills. So what are the most important things to learn in these areas? So for the technical areas, I think this really boils down, especially in all the type of consulting environment that I'm in. So this is this management consulting, strategy consulting type of environment that I was in. This really comes down to getting good at Excel and getting good at PowerPoint, right? So be able to really set up complex Excel models, to really own this tool, be able to handle data, be able to work with raw, unprocessed data, make that work, and then be able to and derive some conclusions and some implications out of all these data sets that they can really provide value for your client. And similar things are true, of course, for PowerPoint. So it's no secret that, you know, consulting firms like to use PowerPoint, and they pretty much use it like other companies use Word, right? So instead of, you know, writing in a Word document and then putting something to paper, consulting firms just like to use PowerPoint. And this is, I think, also something that now really spilled over to most other corporates as well. So if you look into large blue chip companies, their PowerPoint really replaced Word. So getting good at that, being able to then put your thoughts to paper in a concise way is important as well. And this is not only about being able to know how PowerPoint works, right? But it's more the art of being able to craft convincing storylines, of being able to craft documents that make sense in front of a CEO. It's about creating these documents that work well on a board level, right? And this is, of course, a skill that everybody needs to develop. Nobody just starts with that. This is not something you learn in university, but you learn that on the job. So these are these technical skills. And then, of course, also closely related to that are these personal skills. So how do you interact with a client, especially if you're a junior guy? Obviously, you don't have deep domain expertise yet, right? So in most cases, you will not now be a super deep expert in all the industries that you work in. But you are hopefully good with the numbers, good with the analytics. You have some brain power that you can put to work. But how do you handle now meetings with clients? What is your role in these meetings, right? How do you handle that? Then when you sit together with more senior guys, when you sit together with board member type of people, how do you communicate with them? How are you a good communicator? So these are important people skills that you will need to develop over time. And I think the first year of consulting is key to really start getting the basics right. For sure, this is also a learning process that then will take you much longer. You will not be finished with all of that after just 1 year.
I remember that when I started doing the sales consultancy, I remember one of my very early client meetings. I literally haven't spoken. I haven't said a word in the entire meeting. I only shook a few hands at the end when we finished, but that was me on that. Now, if you were to weigh that, and what I mean by that is whenever, for example, technology products are implemented, sometimes within the Salesforce ecosystem, sometimes you have more technical consultants and then you have more like, let's just say, well, they're called solution consultants, but basically they will in a way see the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And then in case you need more technical pieces, you'll have the technical consultants there. And I was going to ask you around that. And you also mentioned the knowledge that you may have about the sector. I was going to ask you, how important is for someone to, within their first year, let's just say we're kind of gathering the basics, but growing from there to potentially try to specialize or at least build upon a particular sector or a particular set of skills. Is that something that you would encourage or not? What's your take on that?
Yeah. So I think here the importance of these two skill sets also changes over time. So I'd say that in the beginning, in your first years, you will have significant problems if you're not able to master these technical skills, right? Because this is now your role. This is also where you can bring value to the table. So really to crunch the numbers, get into the data, getting all these things done, scrubbing the pages, right? Getting these documents out. So this is what is expected from you as a young consultant, as an associate. This is what you need to do. Of course, the more senior that you get, well, I'd argue that this probably never completely stops, right? You still need to get your hands dirty in several ways in this sense. But the more senior you get, the less this is really the core of the activities that you do, because then at some point you will lead teams, then you will be responsible for other associates who are then able to do these things. At some point you might become a partner where then you have really complete teams to just do these things. And then the more important your people skills become, then at some point you will sit in meetings with clients once a week or twice a week and talk to them. And then how well you interact with them. And of course, also how much value you can bring to the table by these conversations. This is then much more important, especially then at some point when it's also about wining and dining, then building new client relationships, then getting asked to do additional projects. This is then what shines and what becomes more and more important. So I think there you cannot be successful as a consultant if you lack both of these skills completely, but the relative importance changes a bit over time.
I will say that I have experienced this myself, and also I've heard other consultants in the industry not really complain about this, but emphasize the fact that they've got into the Salesforce industry because they liked the product, they liked how they were actually able to create something quite quickly and fast. But as they grew in their career, more of their abilities moved towards managing mm-hmm. relationships or managing teams. And they don't really have a hands-on opportunity to actually, you know, do some of the configuration or, like you said, get their hands dirty. And people will always go back and do some work for themselves because they want to keep that fresh. But that is something that I have heard happening on this side of the as well. The other thing I wanted to ask, and you mentioned the relativity of importance of those skills going through the ranks, is and also communicating and with clients and building other relationships. I would really want to follow up on your take regarding follow-up business and how would you craft that type of relationship, or what would be some of the things that you would really want to do in order to make sure that in case there is the opportunity of a follow-up business that comes to you from an existing client. And the reason I'm asking that is because within the Salesforce ecosystem and community, you never stop. It literally, you implement a system and that will never stop. Salesforce are pushing new upgrades. You as a business are growing, hopefully, and you need to add complexities to an existing system that you have. And how should consultants make sure that in case there is a follow-up business to happen, that comes back to them?
Yeah. So I think what's really key here is that your client does not only perceive you to be an expert on this very specific topic that your current project is on, right? Because now, especially now in the Salesforce business, I trust that, of course, maybe in the future there might come new engagements, some are related to Salesforce. But there are only so many Salesforce projects that a company can do, right? And if your client perceives you to be only the Salesforce guy, if he perceives you to be only this one-trick pony, then I think, of course, if you then did a good job, then it's very likely that he will ask you again in the future to work on this very specific topic with him, right? Because that you can deliver on that topic. But what you want to get yourself into is becoming a trusted advisor to your client on business issues. Right, so you work with them maybe for now on the sales topic, and then maybe you sit together with the CEO and he casually starts talking about another problem, another issue that he is facing in a maybe completely other area of his business. Now you want to be in a position that you're able to engage with him on that. So then maybe just spar some ideas on that and then potentially say, hey, we have something here. Can I maybe also bring in this other colleague of mine? Because I really think we might have a solution here that might help you to address that problem. Right. And once then he sees you that you're not only able and capable to solve this one specific topic, then he might also proactively involve you more and more whenever he has a problem, whenever he has a situation he cannot handle or he wants just to have your opinion on. And then, of course, not all of these situations will directly result in a new project, but you really want to become in a position that you are the go-to person for this senior guy, for this executive guy. Whenever he has a serious problem, a serious challenge, whenever he has a topic that is top of mind for him, that you are the first guy he can reach out to just to spar some ideas. And if you put yourself in that situation, then projects will just naturally follow from that. And then it's not even selling, right? But it's just rather being asked to do that, being asked to help. And this, of course, is then the sweet spot.
You don't want to have a quote-unquote transactional relationship.
Exactly.
Because if it's that, then it probably doesn't feel as natural. The other thing that I wanted to switch on and ask you about is things like partnerships and the value of those. And I want to take your opinion on potentially either working on projects with other consultancies and as partners or with other partners in general. What have you had experience with this and what would be your recommendation whenever you end up on a project and you realize that, one, you either need to reach out for support from other technology partners or other consultancies because you need support to deliver that particular project, or a second situation where you basically join a project and you realize there's already a partner there delivering a separate piece of the solution, but it has to be a let's work together type relationship. What's your take on that?
Yeah. So regarding not involving other partners, I mean, this clearly depends now on the setup of the consulting firm you work for, right? If you work for one of these large management consulting firms, then of course their ambition is to be able to cover pretty much every single type of business problem out there, right? And of course, it's not only an ambition, but they will have business practices, functions, whole departments just dedicated to all the different functions, to all the different industries. So of course they want to involve themselves, right? They want to involve their own colleagues into these projects. Of course, now, if you're maybe just a smaller boutique firm and you're not able to do that, here for sure it is wise, right? And it makes sense for you maybe to partner with a couple of people with whom then you can build, you know, a trusted kind of relationship where then maybe they are also able to help you in other types of engagements where they can bring you in. And then you also, when it makes sense, are able to bring them in. I think this is just something that needs to be built based on trust, needs to be built over time, if this is now a situation where it's just mutually beneficial. But of course, you don't want to now promise the client to do certain things that you for sure are not able to do. This, of course, would not be a recommended course of action, clearly.
I mean, there is not really the reluctance, but there's always the fear that in case you're engaging, will you end up losing that project because someone else comes in? I have heard some people be concerned about this, but I guess you don't really want to put yourself in a situation where you're not able to deliver, because if everything moves around trust, once you lose that, it's much more difficult to gain that back than to find another project to work on.
Reputation is your most important asset as a consultant. In the end, it's just so important. Also, many, you know, projects, if you want to be successful, would be asked to do them. You know, the board will have connections, right? In one industry, they will know the other guy in the other company's board, even if it's a competitor, right? And they will know that you might have worked for them in the past, or maybe somebody else from your firm has worked for them in the past. And they might just call them up, right? And they might talk. So, I mean, people talk. And if you don't deliver, then people will know. I mean, you can assume that this would be the case. So make sure that you deliver. I mean, this is just a general good recommendation in life. Huh?
Make sure that you deliver. Yeah, that's a good one. Put that on a mug. The other thing I wanted to ask is again about starting within the consultancy and growing from there. Yeah. And within the Salesforce ecosystem, Salesforce themselves as a company, of course, it's within their interest for the consulting industry to grow around them. But what's your take on mentorship and within a company, within an organization, or reaching outside to the community? What's your take on that? How important is that? Or, you know, have you gone through that type of situation? Because I'm just thinking, in your first year, you're just trying to find your feet, but afterwards, you need to have, in a way, a North Star that you're going towards. Is where do I want to get in my 3 to 5 years? What's your experience with that?
So yes, absolutely. I think it's important to have a plan for yourself, right? A career plan and understanding where you might get in the future. And I have to say, for me personally, though, and of course, this is a personal decision, I did not plan that out, right? With a super clear long-term plan. When I started in consulting, I didn't know, right? If I wanted to become maybe a partner, if I wanted to leave after 1 or 2 years, or maybe stay a bit longer. This wasn't clear to me, and I was taking this more opportunistically. Spent then several years there, and then just a new opportunity popped up, and then I just took it, right? But I think both approaches are fine. I think it can make a lot of sense to really plan it out and then just see that, or rather take it more as you go. I think probably the best recommendation overall is to have an unstructured long-term plan, right? So a rough understanding where you want to end up in 20 years and a rough understanding what the big milestones would be to get there, yeah, but now without really having planned every single year in detail, because this is then just not how it will turn out in the end to be anyway, right? So have a detailed plan for the immediate future, a more unstructured, more very general plan for the long term. I think this is the recipe for success regarding planning in this realm.
The other thing I was going to ask, and this is more career related, properly career related or the business related, like subjects. But what would you see? Or I know this is kind of probably relating to the individual in terms of the answer, but bear with me on this. So what I was going to ask, probably two questions. One, how would you qualify a consultant's career as successful? And what I mean by that is, what is a success exit strategy, I guess, for a consultant? Mm. Would that be potentially to start their own consultancy or grow within that, either become a partner or start their own boutique consultancy? Of course, you mentioned your option, which you found an opportunity to exit and you moved in a position at a different company. or just ride the wave and just be a senior executive or go up the ladder of an existing large consultancy? Or what's your take on that? How did you classify success for yourself as well, I guess?
Yeah. So, I mean, this last sentence is the important one, right? So I think everybody's definition of success is different. And I think you can be successful in many, many different ways in consulting. So let me just talk about probably three different types of successes that at least I would see would be possible. And the first type of success that you can have as a consultant is to do consulting because you want to learn many things. And that was probably the fundamental motivation that I had when I started. I wanted for sure just to do it for a couple of years. That was my kind of short-term detailed plan. And then in the long term, I just wanted to see it right along as I stick to it. And then really getting that exposure, you know, looking into different industries, learning the whole skill set of a consultant, then I think it's absolutely fine then potentially to drop out maybe after 2 years, after 3 years, having learned that skill set and then moving on. Right. So I think this already can be very much considered a successful consulting career. And I think this is also the type of mindset that many people have when they join consulting, because indeed, it's also no secret that especially for these larger management or strategy consulting firms, that then many people also leave after a couple of years. Right. So this is the one path. Then the second path, of course, is just to be really successful and earn lots of money as a consultant, right? And this is also a career path that many people want to do. And of course, also motivation why some people join these large consulting firms, because again, it's no secret that you do earn a very decent salary. And especially if you progress through the ranks and maybe at some point become a partner, then can make a really good living, right? And so now, and I think here the very big milestone is really making a partner, getting into the partnership of one of these large consulting firms. This is, of course, for many people, a very significant milestone that then many would consider success as well. But of course, another type of success can also be to work in consulting and then after a couple of years, maybe leave and leverage the skill set to found a new consulting firm, to found a business, or maybe to move into industry and then make this jump and then really leveraging this whole career in terms of a lever for your own personal career and then making use of opportunities that might pop up afterwards. Making this successful transition then can be a success as well. So here, I wouldn't say there's this one way of how to be successful. I think there everybody can decide for himself. But for sure, just also reflecting on my consulting career, just this first point, the learnings, this is really probably the most significant for me. And I believe that it doesn't matter where you work afterwards, doesn't matter what you do, having spent some time at a large consulting firm, having learned all the things that you can for sure learn there, this will really help you a lot. At least this is what I would argue in your whole life, completely independent of what you will do afterwards.
I mean, even within the sales community, there's no secret around the fact that if you want to learn a lot fast, you join a consulting firm. Now, again, within Salesforce is probably you'll find people which will debate this on the size of the consultancy. Potentially, if you join smaller consultancies, you'll probably learn more than join larger consultancies, because within larger consultancies, you have specialities, I guess. But within smaller consultancies, you may need to wear multiple hats. But I will kind of say from a personal point of view, I have joined a smaller business. So I've worked for a few years for a smaller business, and I did have the opportunity to basically wear multiple hats. And that has basically helped me, I guess, pick up things in certain or in different parts of the business to be able to, in case, set up my own later down the line. The last thing that I wanted to ask is, in case you were to give growth advice or learning advice to someone, what would you say to someone, or how would you advise them in order to take their consulting skills and career from A and move it upwards towards B, I guess? Are there certain, I don't know, like books that you would recommend? You did mention the soft skills and technical skills that they should be concentrated on. What are some other things that people should really put their effort there?
Yeah, so thanks for mentioning that. And this now, of course, is also the perfect plug for me to just briefly talk also about the YouTube channel. So I have a YouTube channel about career topics, about consulting topics. It's called Firm Learning, where you can check out lots of content on exactly these topics, right? So how are you successful in the first years of your career? I talk a lot about my time in consulting, what I learned, and try to pass on some of these learnings to you guys. But now, So what can you really do to learn, right? How do you develop yourself? And for me, that was always a lot about observing colleagues, whether they are successful, right? So in every consulting firm, there will be these rock star guys, right? These top performers, these stellar guys, and they just seem to get everything right. Everybody looks up to them. So observe them, right? Observe them. And these exist on every level, on the junior associate level, on the project lead level, on the partner level. Understand who these people are and understand what they do and then try to learn from them. So this is, I think, one of the key things. The second is that besides what you learn on the job, besides maybe also some trainings that maybe your employer offers, look outside the box what you can learn, where you can further build some skills. And personally, I just find it incredible what resources now people have available also on the internet, what all kinds of online courses exist on really all kinds of different topics that you can learn. This is just so incredible. So spend some time on the weekend, look these things up, educate yourself a bit on topics that might be relevant and to your day-to-day life as well, or to your job, of course, then as well. Then I trust that this might be able to help you.
Thank you for sharing some of the insights from your own career and from your own advice box. If there's anything else that you want to mention, you just mentioned the YouTube channel that you're producing content for. Are you a social media type of person with the exception of YouTube?
So I have the YouTube channel. I also have an Instagram channel, and I'm also on LinkedIn. So my YouTube is Firm Learning. This is also my Instagram. I like to talk about these career topics, these consulting topics. I love to then share also my experiences. So if you're interested in that, check it out. My main vehicle is really the YouTube channel, but the Instagram is where I post additional content as well.
Thank you for listening to the SFDC Consultant podcast. Be sure to visit sfdcconsultant.com to access the show notes and discover additional content. If you enjoyed the podcast, it would be amazing if you could subscribe, give us a review, and share it with your peers. Until next time, take care.